Thank you to all who have been supporting the channel by checking out our merch at rejectnationshop.com and becoming Royal Rejects.
Do you have anything to say to them, Andrew, before we begin?
No, I don't have anything to say, but all I'm going to do my John Blackthorne.
Oh, that was good. I liked it. I think we're going to watch Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
Let's do it.
Now.
I still love the first film.
Yes.
I think I like this one better, though.
Yeah, I mean, the
Seth MacFarlane?
Who is he?
We're going to look that up when we get to the fun trivia.
We got to know. I think that the practical, like, monsters and creatures in this were outstanding. Like, this budget had to be increased, like, doubled.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing. And the choreography?
Oh, the
phenomenal.
Oh, it was Danny Elfman this time. Because in the first film, I believe it was Marco Beltrami.
Okay.
So it was cool to see that they got Danny Elfman. But
that's cool.
I agree with you. As I mentioned many times, as much as I still love that first film, again, the Rasputin fight with the big CGI monster took me a little out of it. But this film, I think Guillermo del Toro, again, I don't know at the time because I didn't see it. Maybe he heard criticisms about that, but hold on. Nope, no scene yet.
Oh.
I would still wait just for the end credits, but we can turn it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I do like that the... You know, we had that scene with John Hurt at the beginning. We get the Hellboy, that flashback. That was really cool because I always wondered about that in the first film. I'm like, I kind of wish we got a little bit there, but I get that they couldn't really focus too much on that. But that was cool to get a little bit of a taste into what their life was a little bit like and that story you gave him.
With his dad.
And again, that was effective, like that clay animation. I thought that was very effective use of it. And again, it was a good way to save some money there and then just like set us up for what we were in for later on with the Golden Army.
Yeah.
And also, too, just giving us the backstory of like, who the villains are, what's at stake, and what the story is going to be about. It was a good structure for the rest of the film. I liked all that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Totally.
And just again, in an alternate reality for me, I'm like, damn it, I wish we would have got my Hobbit with Guillermo del Toro. But having said that, I like how we started off the film. You know, we had to set up a little bit of a character arc with Hellboy. You know, he's more of a... and more of a narcissist a little more in this film, I would say. He's not really paying attention to Liz. I mean, you got her toothbrushes and her cat food and all that other stuff. And also, too, I like the whole identity crisis as well in terms of like, hey, I just want to be out in the world. Yes, Liz is important to me, even if I'm not showing it in a way that it comes off as love. But again, the whole identity crisis, I think that's something a lot of us can relate to. Not in a way in Hellboy's case, but still. Then, like, now he's doing these heroic acts, and, like, people are, like, the cops are pointing guns at him. The people are throwing stuff at him. No one's thanking him. And it's interesting, too, when we got that scene where he went, the troll world, whatever world it was called, with so many cool practical effects with the makeup and all that. It was awesome. But nobody was judging him. I thought that was a very, effective. You always talk about it. It's effective storytelling, visual storytelling without any dialogue that's going on.
Yeah,
we did have a line of dialogue from Hellboy where he's saying, oh my God, no one's saying anything. Look at me. We did have that one line, but again, it was Ron Perlman's facial expressions and emoting that was really selling it for me on top of that line. I got a lot more to say. I do want to hear what Tara has to say about the film.
I do agree. I also feel like along with Hellboy, we get to see him move into this aspect of being very selfish, kind of ignoring his relationships, especially, you know, with his girl, which sucks. And then that's obviously going to kind of tear them apart. But I like how in this story, we followed Abe a little bit more. Like, it was very obvious that Abe was falling for the princess. And I really enjoyed
that
story because Abe being his best friend, like we were saying, Abe's like the therapist for everybody, right? It's who Jeffrey Tambor, I forget his name, but who Jeffrey Tambor talks to him, right? Hellboy talks to him. What is her name? His girlfriend.
Liz.
Thank you. Liz talks to him. they all talk to him. He's all around the guy that everybody comes to. And I love that in the story, they had him find love, which we just got to see that with him, which was a lot of fun. And again, same thing. Not a lot of words, mostly all without a lot of dialogue, which I think Guillermo del Toro is like great at showing that, which is what also what he did a lot in The Shape of Water. A lot of that is like no words. It's all done with just like eye movements and touching of hands, just like he did when that's how him and the princess communicated, which I really like that that's a way that they shared communication, which made it really sad at the end that there was someone who finally communicated with Abe and understood him in a way that nobody else could. And that's what made it really kind of emotional. Like when she dies, I'm like, oh, I wanted that for Abe so much.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I do think that Liz getting pregnant is going to allow us to see another side of Hellboy that I think that's the only thing that maybe could keep him from becoming more and more narcissistic, from growing in the public's eye, from becoming this star, which you could tell that he really, really enjoyed watching himself. He's not listening to Liz. He's not listening to his boss. He's doing everything out in the open, except for maybe when it came down to him and the prince. And the prince said, you either have to command or you have to obey. And I was like, how is that going to come into play with him specifically? And it did, I guess, at the end, right? Where it's like he didn't have to kill the prince, but he did have to like command his way in there, if right. that makes sense. Because yeah. I was like, how is this going to come into play? Because that was a very big line yeah. to me. And I was still trying to figure out exactly how the command versus obey came in there. But obviously it came in at the end, which I appreciated.
And that was, before I continue my point, if you are listening to us on Apple or Spotify, please drop a rating for us. We would appreciate it.
Totally.
That also showed emotional growth, in my opinion, on Hellboy. Yeah. Like he... What did Klaus say? Your temper always gets the best of you.
Yes.
He easily could have killed the prince in that moment. He didn't. He chose not to because I believe, too, like not only like it was a growth moment for him, but I think he understood, too, that it was affecting like he was looking out for Abe. He knew Abe was in love with this woman. They had their bro moment, their
right.
drunk moment.
Right.
I love that scene. It was so damn funny.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like looking out for his guy and also, too, just controlling himself and being that hero as well. Like, I mean, this guy, like the prince tried killing him, almost succeeded, like to hold off right there. I just, again, good character growth, good development for his character.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awesome moment.
Yeah.
And then again, just that sadness. I also thought it added some interesting stakes to like, because usually when the hero fights the villain in a film, whether you agree or disagree with the character's motivation in terms of the villain, but you understand it's like, okay, I get the motivation. Again, whether you agree or disagree, it's like, I want the hero to beat the villain. You know, very black and white.
Right.
But in this case, it's like, there's an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah,
it's like,
because
I don't want
sister.
Anything to happen to the sister. This is such interesting storytelling.
Yeah.
That's why I loved it. Also, too, I thought there was a lot of good subversion of expectations. I'm talking about Klaus, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, like, there's got to be something nefarious
yeah,
with this guy.
There was something, and there wasn't.
Yeah, and there was nothing, which I'm glad. Again, one of my biggest pet peeves, I don't like things being too predictable.
Right.
And I get it. Writing is a very difficult thing. It's,
yeah.
You know, when you're writing on a page and then when you're trying to execute and then put it on the screen, it's easier said than done. Especially
yeah.
when we're here in a comfortable studio just watching and judging. It's a lot more easy than when you're actually, you know, trying to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought Guillermo del Toro and I forgot the name of the other writer, Mike, whatever his name is. I believe he created the comic. Anyways, point being is I like how they created that mystery with Klaus, like thinking there's something nefarious and something not mm-hmm. right with him. And we even kept saying like, he's going to do something. He's going to do it. And then nothing came about it.
Yeah.
And then he ended up helping them because, and then there was a lot, I guess he suffered a loss with his woman or girlfriend or wife or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And I just thought, okay, simple, easy, and again, subversion of expectations. I thought that was fine. I liked it. And
yeah.
I actually, too, like just going a little more deeper with his character, I thought he had a really cool power, I guess.
Absolutely.
With the smoke and he could control things. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, he's a great person to add onto the team because at the end, we see like he also quit. So he's becoming a part of the Hellboy
yeah.
team, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
There's also something in this movie that they take way more time, which I think the budget went up. And then also, I think, well, we've earned it possibly with the first movie that we earned that scene between Hellboy and Abe, where it's like they literally get to sing like half of an entire song together and get wasted,
yeah.
which normally in a film like this, they'd be like, we don't have time for that. Like this should be an hour and 30 minutes. It's not. It's 2 hours. And
it's
it was still great. I'd
so
like
well
to
paced.
See that scene. I like to see them bonding to really show their friendship, which also adds to when Hellboy, obviously, he's like, I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to kick his ass, because he's like, I'm not going to kill my best buddy's girl. Right. And then it ended up, which I really like that writing a lot, because we always knew that she was like, she even told Abe, don't do it. She knew that Abe had that golden piece and she did not want him to do it, even if it meant her dying or getting hurt. So I really like that she was true to the end. And then her killing herself is just very, it's very poetic, because yeah. she knew it, that would be the only way that she could end her brother, which was very sad, but I appreciated it. Also, I think in taking their time in the shots, like there's a lot of grand like reveals with the shots of like, it looks like a dolly reveal or like a crane shot of a slow moving end. You're like, whoa, look at this entire world. And we get to sit there for a second and look at it, look at them walking into this environment. And then we kind of get into the story. So there's a lot of moments like that where we got to spend just a little more time in the environment, which I really appreciated. And the environment that I really didn't want to leave was the Star Wars environment in the beginning with all the creatures.
Yeah, the troll world or whatever it was called.
The troll world was awesome. Freaking amazing, you guys. There was insane creatures in there that were on screen for like 3 seconds.
And the amount of time it must have taken to put all those like, extras into makeup just to show us that for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's insane.
I don't even want to know how long that took.
I'm curious. I bet you they probably had to hire... I wonder like if they built some of those creatures maybe before, maybe some more animatronic. They all looked very practical.
Oh yeah.
And then if they had to have what, I don't know, 50 makeup artists with their assistants, so it's 100 on set to build up all of these people as well as costuming. Ah, that's just, it's wild.
I thought this film also did a really good job of showing the contrast between Hellboy and the Prince. Like they are similar, but they're also different in terms of like, you know, we see the disdain that the prince has for the people. And I mean, they don't go too deep into his reasoning other than he just doesn't like them. And then, but we see it from Hellboy's perspective. Like we see what people do to him. So maybe there's a reason why the prince doesn't like him. It's for like that fact that people are judgmental and blah, 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 whatever. I don't need an actual reasoning other than what we see them doing to Hellboy. That's good enough for me.
Right.
But then seeing the contrast in what, the differences in how they act towards the situation. So like we see that the prince is like more than happy to use the golden army to destroy humanity. Whereas Hellboy, he's in a position where, hey, look, he's got his woman. They can live wherever, whether there's humanity or not. Like she's, you know, she's got powers and all that. So they don't, she doesn't need humanity. The point I'm making is he still made the hero's decision on like, hey, I'm still going to be in a world that judges me and I'm going to do the greater deed and be the hero. And I'm going to fight this guy because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Again, that's good character development for me.
Yeah. I agree, because it kind of come from the same world, which is why at the end when the prince was dying, he's like, it's either the humans or it's us. So he's kind of including him in that world, which I enjoyed that at the end, because it gives Hellboy a little more of a contradiction. Because I wonder, it also adds into more of us wondering what's going to happen when his child is born, which is like half human, half Hellboy.
Two children, right?
When his twins are born, which adds to exactly what the prince was saying. Human versus us. And that's what his twins are going to be. It's going to be, they're all going to have two special powers. Like, are they going to be able to like burn up stuff and also be able to deal? I'm just so curious, because I guess they're not actually going to be full human, because she's okay.
I'm sorry to burst your bubble. They never made a third one.
They didn't?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, man.
I know. I hate to be that guy. I'm sorry.
I wanted to see the twins. Well,
maybe one day they'll do
it. Maybe one day.
They made a reboot after this movie, I believe. We'll look it up just to verify, but they made a reboot after this one, but... I wish they would have continued this story.
Okay.
Like this was here. I don't know why they didn't continue. Maybe we'll see on IMDb, or maybe you guys are so smart. You can let us know in the comments why they didn't continue this, because I think this story is so well.
Yeah.
The characters are fleshed out. The world building is great.
Maybe it just costs too much money. Okay. Yeah. While Andrew looks up his trivia, I have my phone here. I'm going to look up the budget, because I want to know real quick, like, how much Hellboy 2 budget, just to see. So 85 million and it only grossed. Oh, great.
How much did it gross?
It grossed 168 million.
It should have made more than that. Is worldwide. that worldwide?
Well, that's good because they all...
Yeah, but you got to think of marketing too.
Almost it's, doubled it, right?
Yeah, it's got to make more than that. I guess that's probably why they had to reboot it.
Yeah, and it was only in the United States, it only grossed $34 million domestically. Let's look up, so if that has an $85 million budget, I'm just going to look up Hellboy 1 because I believe it was probably so doubled.
Seth MacFarlane, I believe, was the voice of Johann Kraus.
I think that's cool.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I was like, that voice sounds so damn familiar. Who is that?
That's cool. So Hellboy 1 was only 60 to 66 million. So they got like 20 million more dollars to make this one.
They made a count, right?
And they needed it for all of those creatures, which were amazing.
Citizens of the Reject Nation, or should I say Royal Rejects, because that is who we call those who check out our RR apparel at rejectnationshop.com. We come out with new designs every month or every 2 months. It is personally my favorite way you can support the channel. Reason being is because we are involved with every one of the exclusive RR designs that are up at the shop. Every month it's been growing. Every month we are getting more and more Royal Rejects, and I really love to hear how people are finding the shirts to not just be cool looking, but also fit nicely and feel comfortable. I cared about that more than anything else. I'm a hairy guy, so I'm really like sensitive to the fabric. We got a bunch of designs already, such as our Super Marvel Bro shirt. My sister actually designed this one. Deadpool Wolverine inspired, my personal favorite one. But then we also got our number one bestseller, The Last Daddy t-shirt, which has Pedro Pascal from The Last of Us inspired, carrying baby Grogu. We have Loki's glorious balloon. We also have our Doctor Who shirt, which is full of a bunch of classic Doctor Who quotes on the TARDIS. We have Space Babies of the Galaxy. We got ourselves some Star Wars inspired shirts. We got a Boys inspired shirt, and we have a House of the Dragon one as well. Pointing those out because obviously we have new seasons of those shows coming up. And then of course we got a bunch of other designs as well, like our Batverse one, Who Influences the Influencers, another Last of Us inspired t-shirt, and of course, you know, the classic Reject Symbolism t-shirts as well. Either one is an amazing way to support the channel, and like I said, you get to look good while doing it. So thank you guys so much. Do consider going to rejectnationshop.com, and also tag us on social media. If you end up buying a shirt, please tag us. We'd love to see it when people do end up buying the shirts. Thank you, Royal Rejects. See you guys soon.
All right, so let's get down to those fun facts that you got.
Brass taxes here.
Yeah.
Okay, as the angel of death. Hey, that's what I called it. I know, that's pretty much what it was. It was kind of obvious. I'm not taking credit on that one. As the angel of death, Doug Jones also played the angel of death. He's Abe Sapien. As the angel of death, Doug Jones could only see out of the crack across the mask he wore. Also, the mechanical wings he was wearing weighed about 40 pounds. Doug was originally supposed to walk around the set, but when it was discovered that he could barely stand, they instead hung him from a wire. This is why the angel of death floats.
Amazing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was actually thinking while we were watching that scene, whoever's in this, how can they see?
I'd be like, bro, you're going to put on 80 pounds of wings and expect me to just like move around and do an entire scene multiple times? No.
Oh, here's another angel of death fun fact. The angel of death's voice is also done by Doug Jones, doing each line twice, once in a higher pitch toned voice,
and once in a lower,
and then in a lower pitch, and then the two takes were blended together.
Oh, interesting.
I was like, what's going on with the voice? This is different.
That's cool.
All right, you called this one early on. David Hyde Pierce did the voice of Abe Sapien in Hellboy 1, while Doug Jones played the physical part for this film. Jones also does the voice, so you were onto that early.
I did miss Park.
I agreed with that. David Hyde Pierce. Yes,
Pierce.
I thought
it was David Hyde Park. David Hyde Pierce.
The reason is because the producers hoped that Pierce's name would make the first movie a box office smash, but he refused to be credited because he felt that Abe Sapien was Jones's work, and as such, did no promotions, nor interviews, nor even attended the premiere.
Oh, that's okay. Guys, hold on. That's some hot gossip. Number one, I do find that a little weird. So when I first heard that, because he read that trivia in the first one saying, and I was like, oh, that's so nice of David to be like, Jones, it's all of your work. You put in all this time and effort into it. I don't need to take any credit, which I was like, I respect that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, but you didn't even show up to watch the movie. And also if they were like, help us promote, because that's what movies do. They want to put a name in there to help you promote the thing. Like David Hyde Pierce is very popular from Frasier and a bunch of other things that I'm like, oh, that's a little rude. I have mixed feelings about it because I understand what he was doing and I think it was a very nice thing.
Yeah.
But I also think you could have showed up and still been like, yes, I was this voice, help promote it, and at least go see your work in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then be like, it's all just by the way, every interview you do, be like, listen, I don't need to talk about me. Yes, I played the voice, but it was Doug Jones the whole time. He did all of the work. The credit goes to him.
Yeah, I mean, you still got paid for the job, so you can still promote it while still giving Doug Jones all the credit that you think he deserves. That's fair too. I get your point there, but yeah, I agree.
Also, adding in his name with Doug Jones is going to help Doug Jones.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do like three more for you guys. So Peter Jackson approached writer and director Guillermo del Toro to direct Halo, and even though del Toro considered it, he turned the offer down so he could direct this sequel. Good choice. Also, del Toro turned down I Am Legend, One Missed Call, and Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince for the same reason. Again, I love this movie, but damn, that would have been interesting to see him do Half-Blood Prince. But
and Harry Potter,
that's what I'm saying. But okay, interesting. All the films. But again, I'm glad he ended up doing this. I just wish this movie would have made more money.
Yeah, I agree.
Curious why it didn't. Maybe it's marketing. Who knows? When in costume as either Abe Sapien, the Chamberlain, or the Angel. Is the Chamberlain? Is that the henchman with the... I don't know. Mm. Or the Angel of Death, Doug Jones was rendered almost completely blind and deaf from the prosthetic pieces on his head.
I bet.
Yeah, dude, he's a trooper, seriously. He gets so much credit.
Give him all the credit. Wow, yeah, I didn't even know he played all those things.
Yeah, and also, too, I really felt such a... I thought there was so much more emotional... I loved him so much in the first film. I thought his powers were cool and just getting to know him and all that. But again, with his relationship with the princess... And everyone being, again, using him as a therapist. I thought there was a lot of emotional depth with his character in this film, personally. So
I'm claustrophobic and I can't do that.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't say anything here because I was about to praise a young child here.
What is it?
The young Hellboy.
Yes.
Was played by an adult, a 36-year-old in 2008, woman Monsi Ribe. There were so many times where I was about to say, praise to this little child right now for all the prosthetic makeup they had to go through.
Right. They were like, we can't put a kid through that because a kid, by the time you're done with the makeup, they would be like, you have to go be home. You have to be homeschooled on set now. They would waste so much money. Okay. That makes sense.
I was thinking that, but I was going to praise it like 3 or 4 times.
That makes a lot of sense.
Oh my God.
That's great.
I'm laughing. I didn't say anything in that moment. Two more. Blake Perlman, the female reporter seen interviewing Hellboy outside of the auction house, is Ron Perlman's daughter.
Oh!
Nepotism does not exist in Hollywood. It's an interview. It's nothing.
Still,
that was cool for him to get it. Okay, I'll do one more. Johann Krauss, voiced by Seth MacFarlane, used the word, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, Schwatzstucker. This is a pseudo-German euphemism for a part of the male anatomy. Oh, I think that's what he called Jeffrey Tambor at the end.
Yeah.
Schwatzenstucker or something like that. The term was also used in the Mel Brooks film Young Frankenstein back in 1974. And we saw a bunch of Frankenstein in there. Yeah.
So. Okay, that's cool. So he was pulling like some Frankenstein stuff. I also think that was a cool shot. Like it's sort of a metaphor
I have to say one more after you're done.
Okay, I also thought it was a metaphor placing Hellboy next to that Frankenstein shot, that it was so clearly there of saying I mean, they share a lot in common, right? Frankenstein wasn't like bad, but he looked like how he looked. And Hellboy is like the same thing. He has a heart, but he has to sort of hide who he actually is going to be in the future. And he's really trying to fight against that.
For sure. Last one. Seth MacFarlane based the voice of Johann Krauss on Jeremy Irons' character, Simon Gruber from Die Hard with a Vengeance. Oh, that's an interesting fact. Did you ever see that film or no?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. He's the main
baddie. Wait, is that the
The third one. The first one is Alan Rickman.
Oh, no.
That's the third one.
Wait, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
So that's, dang, guys, I need to watch that.
Yeah, that's the third one. So that's an interesting fact. I'm going to have to watch these films back to back. I mean, I can hear Jeremy Irons' voice in there. I can kind of see that, but interesting. But again, I really enjoyed this film. I love the first one, but I think this one outdid it in every step of the way. I wish this one made more money so they could have continued doing more. I highly doubt we're going to do the reboot unless you guys convince Greg and John that you want us to. So let them know in the comments. But also, too, one other thing I did not mention in our review here. I really thought this film, there were so many different tones going on, but I thought Guillermo del Toro did a great job of balancing all those tones, because when it was like when he was setting the tone for horror, I mean, with the tooth fairies and all that, like, it was scary as hell.
Yeah.
And then when he wanted it to be schlocky and zany and fun, like, it was fun. Like in the bro and the, you know, moment like that with him and drinking, like, he was really able to blend it together and balance. It's all about balance to me. Like, because sometimes, you know, not to get into a Hellboy identity crisis here, a lot of times films just don't know how to balance it. It's, again, it's a very tricky thing when you're writing these things out. But again, I thought Guillermo del Toro and, again, the other writer, they really nailed that balancing act for me.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, even when I said, oh, that's an interesting transition, it was very comic booky, which especially when the with the black lines, when it goes, like, curved. And then I was like, oh, that's why. Once I saw the curved one, I was like, oh, this is, but we're modeling it after a comic book, which I like, because we didn't get those transitions in the first one, which gives us a little more juice on the comic book realm of it to, like, call back to that, which is so, it's such a simple call out to just be like, we're just going to transition it this way, especially using a split screen, which is very comic booky. I really enjoyed that, because we didn't get that in the first one. And that's a really nice way to just be like, this is also a comic.
Yeah.
Right?
No, for sure.
Which is awesome. I loved it. I don't know if I have anything else to say except that the creatures were just, they were my absolute favorite.
Yeah, and again,
and those master shots of like when we could pull out and see the entire environment.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the fight choreography in this.
Yes, stunts were amazing.
Masterful. And Luke Goss, I want to give him his praise as the prince. He did an awesome job. I always felt threatened. Like, I always felt like Hellboy, even though you know he's going to survive in the end. Like, in the moments, you always feel threatened and scared for him. And that's what I think is the, you know, that's the proposition of a good villain. You want your heroes and the characters that you're invested in to feel threatened in the moment, even if you know at the end they're
going to survive.
Yeah, and in the moment, you're not thinking about that. So I thought he was really, again, like in Blade 2, which I won't spoil for you, I thought he was very well cast, and I like that Guillermo del Toro went back to him. He did a great job. And I like that relationship between him and his sister. I thought that was interesting. The contrast between how they have a different ideology, you know, in terms of she's like, no, I want peace and he wants violence towards humanity and all that. So interesting. Again, it's good dramatic storytelling and also the fun supernatural stuff and the horror elements and the comedic bands. There's just so much in this film I really appreciated. Hopefully one day they do a third one. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, let us know in the comments.
I also feel, let us know in the comments about the reboot. But like, I also feel like at the end of this, I was just thinking like, this is, the women were really running these decisions, because it took the sister to kill herself and then it took Liz destroying the actual crown that I'm like, oh, the women won this. Like, the guys were there to fight. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't for the sister and it wasn't for Liz, like, the Golden Army would maybe still be standing. I mean, they could have maybe destroyed the crown in a different way, but also maybe not. And also, he would still be living if the sister hadn't been very poetic and killed herself.
And to add to your incredible point, Liz also saved Hellboy. She with the Angel of Death. She
absolutely
let him live.
She, and I like that she said, I'm gonna save him. And I think a lot of that is like, I'm gonna save him because I'm having twins. Well, and I'm like, maybe she could.
You're absolutely right. And last thing, I promise. My interpretation of that was to like, the Angel of Death was saying he's going to bring about the destruction of the world. I feel like with our twin or our babies being born and with me, I can steer him towards the right path.
Right. Exactly.
That was my interpretation of
Of course. Like, same thing. Like, I'm going to save him by having these babies. We're going to lead him towards a different path, which I believe would probably only work for so long, which is why I was very intrigued to see, wow, where would that reboot go once he has children? Mm-hmm. And then maybe, because it's sort of written in stone, written in the stars of, yeah, like, eventually he's going to turn bad, well, which I wouldn't really want to see it.
Of course not.
I wouldn't want to see it. But at the same time, it's like, ah, I wonder. Yeah. Right?
Again, a little bit. Not knowing the comics, my only guess, the only thing that could really turn him bad is if something really bad happened to Liz, yeah, and now it's like,
and then he, yeah,
vengeance on humanity to Liz, or something.
That's right. It would have to be a Disney thing where it's like Liz and both the kids die. Oof. And it's a John Wick thing where he's like, I'm going to kill you all. Yeesh. And then no one stands a chance against, right, Hellboy. At that, right, point, that's a knife right through the heart. Forget about it.
Yeah.
We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for, make sure you share this. Leave a like, leave a comment. Tell us how cool we are. Tell us how much you enjoy the video. Tell us other cool things. You know, you guys are cool. Give us the juice. Have a little kiki online. Guys, I just learned the word kiki. That's like a hangout, and I'm obsessed with it now, so you might hear me use it a lot. That's it. We love you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and we will see you on the next one. Bye.